Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about what is happening up in the skies above today. And literally grab your cup of coffee because you're going to need it. Today is one of those sleepy days. We begin our week with the moon in Pisces in a trine to the moon and also to Mercury. And that means that our minds are sluggish. It means we're more sleepy, lethargic. Maybe we want to just curl up and stay in bed or watch TV with our favorite cup of coffee. But no, we are all up and at them, ready to go for the day. At least I am. Maybe you guys are too. I don't know. But it feels like I did not want to get out of bed this morning. It felt like, you know, I don't know. It's dark. It's cold. It's, yeah. Anyway, so it is that time of the month when the moon is moving through the sign of Pisces, where we just feel more cuddly, like we feel more like we want to go within. And there's a little more sleepiness in the atmosphere. So we have that kind of sleepy feeling with us all through the day today, as the moon will be in Pisces all day. Today, we are also going to take a look ahead at the week. It is a fairly quiet week, but there's a reason for that. And I think that you'll want to hear about what we can be doing with our time this week when we don't have a lot of crazy aspects happening. And then we'll also talk about the coming end of the Pleiadian Earth energy, the spiral of consciousness for this week. Is today we come to the 12 healing. And that means tomorrow's the 13, the last day of the spiral of consciousness, and we'll need to be prepared for what comes next. So, as I said, it is a sleepy sort of day with the moon beginning her trek through the week in the sign of Pisces. Kind of slows everything down for the week as we kind of have trouble getting our roll going. And I know for those of you on the East Coast, you've already been up for a few hours ahead of me. Maybe you're already feeling a little more energized. I don't know how I'm going to feel around 11 o'clock, but at this point in time, I know that it's just like sleeping time. Today, the moon, though, is in a trine to Mercury. That makes the smooth energy between the emotions of the moon and the mind and the thinking of the of Mercury kind of moving in a slow but steady fashion, sort of moving in a tune with one another. The next aspect of the day is a moon conjunction to Pisces. That sort of reinforces that sleepy feeling or that lethargy that we are feeling. Can't even talk right yet. And then as we near the end of the day, there will be a sextile between the moon and Jupiter-Pluto, or Pluto-Jupiter in that order. And that means none of the aspects of the day are negative aspects. There's a couple of minor issues going on with Venus and planets, but that's sort of under the surface. And literally, we're not necessarily experiencing that unless we're already having experiences of some kind of challenge in a relationship. But it might not be a really good day today to start your Christmas shopping, as we aren't clear, as the energies out there in the world aren't clear, where it's possible that ads aren't clear. We're not sure, you know, all of these things are just kind of up in the air at the moment. So today's likely not the best day to make big moves of any kind. The sign of Pisces is a very spiritual sign, but it also rules all the states of illusion that we can talk about. So imagination, for example, which is a really awesome imagination and fantasy, a good expression of the moon in Pisces, where we can tap into seeing things that we don't normally see, or, you know, just having the ability to be creative and imaginative. But it's also where chaos dwells. It's also where sleep dwells and confusion. So we have a mixed bag of the potential in the sign of Pisces. Now, Pisces is ruled by Neptune and has rulership over the 12th house of the astrology chart. So there are also possibilities of our tapping into more joyful states. So bliss and ecstasy, universal love, which is a really powerful energy in Pisces, and internal happiness. Have you ever had, raise your hand out there, if you've ever just had a moment where joy just bubbles up within you, unbidden, right? Nothing that happened outside of you that caused it. It just sort of rolls up from within. That is called a joyful state, but it is also a Pisces sort of energy. Now, when we talk about universal love and Pisces, we're talking things like forgiveness and understanding and compassion, tolerance and acceptance, and the awareness of oneness, right? So we have some of the higher quality energies out there, not necessarily being mirrored to us in the world right now, but what is being mirrored to us in the outer world right now are some of the more negative energies associated with Pisces, defeatist attitudes or procrastination or victimhood, deception, addictions, and disappointments that lead us to anxiety or panic attacks or kind of crazy behavior, crazy like not clear behavior, not crazy like Mars can be crazy. Mars and Pluto crazy is like taking action in a very outward way, but the energy in Pisces shows us more of the subverting energy. So something going on from behind the scenes. And so today we're dealing with a lot of different energies there through the high highs into the lower lows. Now, Pisces energy is also very psychic, of course, emotional. It is a water sign. So it rules our mystical states where we can get into the higher states of consciousness, where we become really aware of the energy of the realm right outside of our physical realm, and where we can energize states of harmlessness, where we're not out to hurt anybody, where we are tapping into the oneness, where we're tapping into the love energy, as opposed to tapping into more of those subversive attitudes and energies that are out there as well. The Piscean energy is taking us to our higher self, right? One of the biggest lessons in Piscean energy is about learning to trust, to surrender to a higher power, to channel that spiritual power, to become aware of how you are embodied spirit. Not that you are separate from the divine, but that you are embodying the divine. So spiritual awareness and awareness of other than just you on the planet, awareness of how we all fit together, just everything that you can sort of take to that next level, psychically, spiritually, emotionally, sensitivity, are all available to us today. This is also a sign of healing energy, healing through meditation, through yoga, inner peace, any kind of type of exercise that takes you into inner peace, angelic helpers, right? The unseens that help us, and also the energy of going within. So if I didn't have to spend so much time today without, I would be going within, but I have lots of other things that I need to get doing today. So I'm going to need to wake up. Maybe I'll have an extra cup of coffee after I get done here this morning. That might be necessary. Let me take a quick peek and see how everybody's doing out here. Hello to, oh, wow, quite a few of you are awake. Good morning, Ingrid and Corey. Hello. And happy day to you too, Kathleen Mallory. And I was very busy yesterday and meant to send you your reminder that we're meeting today at 11. So just a little bug in your ear before I get a chance to email you that link. JLo, good morning. And Phantom Chroma, hello. And Loanne, good morning to you. Anna Fulton, good morning. She said, my moon is in Pisces and very emotional today. I would say that it's not only going to be you today, but everybody, because Pisces is in everybody's chart somewhere. So emotions can be triggered all over the charts for people today. Ingrid, perfect description of the energies or lack thereof. Indeed. Elisa, good morning. And Christine Buckingham, hello. JLo says, I was not trying to wake up, stayed in bed just a little bit longer before going. Andy Girl, good morning to you. Happy. I hope you had a great birthday yesterday. Josh Nichols, good morning to you. And Andy said it was a slower start for me this morning, but I'm up and going now somewhat. JLo, ha, happened this weekend for me. I thought I had gotten the PS5, but received a cancellation email. Oh no. Jennifer Peachy, hello. And Ursula, good morning to you. On the bright side, she says they gave me $180 free in Kohl's cash for the misunderstanding. Yeah, the PS5 isn't available yet, is it? Andy Girl said, would this Pisces energy affect me differently if I have my North Node in Pisces? Not differently, maybe just a little more intently. It depends on where you are in the movement of your life. So yesterday was your birthday, and I don't remember if you told us how old you were going to be. So it's possible then the moon in Pisces has a longer effect on you because it was in Pisces all day yesterday. And the moon is likely then in Pisces for you in your solar return, although your solar return might have been on Saturday because everybody's solar returns are coming about a day early because we had a leap year this year. So it's possible, but maybe not. It depends on what time your actual birthday was. Peggy Doyle, good morning. And Puffing Pixie, good morning to you. And Ursula says she's a Pisces moon in the seventh house. So a day maybe to stay curled up on the couch with your honey and watch, I don't know, some good shows on TV or just chat, have a good time together. Today, I hate it when Mondays are in Pisces, really, because when the moon's in Pisces, that's squaring to my sun. So I feel like my sun is dampened down. And this morning, my son wanted to stay in bed asleep for a while longer. But unfortunately, Terry had to be at work an hour early. So he was up before me and he made sure I was up on time. Darn it. All right. Completing our Piscean energy with the moon. Remember, there is always the high side and the low side. The low side tends to be the more victim, martyr type of energies. So wherever it is that you're still feeling like a victim in your own life might be right up in your face. We certainly see things like that in the outer world, you know, where people are mirroring to us that victim energy or that defeatist type of attitude or even downright deception about what's happening and disappointments and so forth. So we'll have to work through those individually, but know that you might also see them reflected back to you from other people around you. In health, the sign of Pisces rules the feet and colds or the lymphatic system. So our ability to react from a space of health with the white blood system, with the way that we our bodies react to the invasion by germs and bacteria. As well, then Piscean energy rules poisoning and toxicity. And not necessarily out and out. I mean, certainly for most of us, it's not going to be outright poisoning or toxicity, but you may be more reactive over these days that are with the moon in Pisces due to just being more sensitive to foods, to things in the air, to all kinds of the things in our environment or the things that we put into our body that can trigger that sort of allergic reaction or that toxicity. So watch what you're putting in your body. Watch what you are interacting with in your outer world because toxins can come in the form of other people as well. This might be a day to avoid anybody that you know that can create for you that feeling of toxicity. So there you have that. So that's our moon for today. And literally that is all through tomorrow. Well, tomorrow morning, the moon will start its shift from Pisces into Aries. And that's going to amp up some of the energies as we move in through the week, because anything moving through Aries is triggering not only Mars, Eris, but also squaring the planets that are still in Capricorn just for a few more weeks. And then we will be done. Well, we're not going to be done with Capricorn energy. Pluto will still be there, but will be some of the more intense energies that we've experienced in 2020. We'll move on to 2021's variety of intense energies. It will be more of the intensity, but less of the same kind of intensity. So a different form of intensity. And I got to say, I wasn't going to bring this up to you guys this morning because I wasn't quite sure how I could explain this in terms that you could understand, not that I'm insulting your intelligences, but I did a lot of work several years ago before the Mayan calendar ended about what the Mayan calendar represented. And that work was with Johann Carl Kalman. And the other guy's name escapes my attention. He died before we ever got to the end of the calendar. if his name pops up, I will tell you who it was. And the work involved the idea that the Mayan calendar, and including the Pleiadian Earth energy calendar, was charting the evolution of consciousness. Now, that part's not hard to understand. The harder part to understand was that the way consciousness works is in waves of energy. So, for example, when you look at the symbol for Aquarius, you see the waves, right? And I think some people automatically think that that's water, but it isn't really water. These are waves of energy, interference waves, you might call them. And those waves come to us in pulses, perhaps over time. In the Mayan calendar, what we saw that there were nine levels of these waves, and each wave rolled through a day, which is where things were more positive and uplifting, where a lot of inventions happened, and where the energy was more extroverted, more prone to growth, more prone to moving toward democracies. And these, of course, were over time, billions of years, not just like one light year, billions of years, the life of the planet. And then after the day came the night. It crossed over the neutral zone, if you will, and then down into the night, and then eventually coming back up out of the night and into the day. So the days represented the more masculine, more external, and the nights represented the more feminine, the more internal, right? The more hidden and the more lighted. So those days and nights were constantly moving through the waves. Now, some of the waves lasted long periods of time, millions of years. Some of the waves, and none of the waves end, were still in the effect of the wave that began 16 billion years ago. But as the waves came, you know, further and further, they became shorter, right? So our feeling of time sped up to the point where when we got to the seventh day, we went from 400 year long days and nights to 20 years in the eighth wave to 18 days in the ninth wave. So we have these pulses of energy that are rolling through, and these waves take us into different energies. So, and you can view what's happening in the world through these particular waves. Well, several of the waves have moved into the night. Actually, they did move into the night energies in 2011. So we are literally in the mid-level of the night wave. And 2021 takes us to that exact halfway point. And it's interesting because when you look at that wave through history, and we've got millions of years of history that we can look at, and we have several hundred thousand years of waves that we can, of how the wave affected humanity itself, right? We can look at the inventions from the beginning of time as we know it, all the way through to now, and we can see how certain things followed these periods. And I can get more specific someday if you really want to do that. In fact, I used to go around the country doing this. And then we get to this time period that we're in now, and we are in the dark, or we are in the night wave. We came through that, we crossed into the night in 2011. And literally, according to Kalaman, the night, the end of the Mayan calendar was on October 28th of 2011, not the 2012 that is popularized. This is when the waves were coming together and coming to that end. So all nine waves were now activated on the planet. For all intents and purposes, our evolution was complete. We had everything activated that we needed activated in order to experience the planet in a very co-creative way, right? Where in earlier times, we hadn't gotten to that point yet. It hadn't dawned on us that we were housing a divine spark or spirit, especially back earlier. So as we moved into this period of time in the nights, what's favored is authoritarianism, forms of nationalism, and all of the fascism and all of those things arose in the nights. And here we are in a night and we are re-experiencing. It's why we ask ourselves, didn't we finish this like years ago, when we think about equality and when we think about race and when we think about religions and all of these big things that have been going on, politics and so forth, they're only mirroring to us this process of us going through the night. We are not done with this night that we're in until 2031, because it's part of the way the eighth wave that was the 20 years long wave. So we're 10 years almost into this wave. So we're coming to the point that is sort of the crescendo or the worst of the worst part of the wave, where it's the most dark. I shouldn't say worst or best. It's not about that, where we are most in the dark, where we are most apt to not see things clearly. And then we'll begin the process of climbing up out of the dark, and we see a sort of turning of the corner, if you will, as we move up toward the light. So in 2031, which is still 10 years away, we'll have crossed that threshold back into the light. We'll become more enlightened again during that period of time. So I don't say this to tell you that you're in another 10 years of darkness, get over yourself. That's not it at all. It's that it kind of gives us a better understanding of the in-breath and the out-breath of the consciousness of the planet. And that a lot of things in this case are sort of out of our control in terms of what's possible with these energies. And that the best thing that we can do is be in sort of the only thing you can really control is you, right? That's the thing, right? We can't make other people out there believe us. We can't make other people out there listen to us, but we can choose to be in response to everything that shows up in our world. We can choose to be in possibilities, right? That's another power that we have. So we have to be able to move along the lines of power in which we have power and not try to work against the powers that we cannot control. So I hope that makes sense. So if you don't like what you see in that outer world, then you are going to have to do something within you to change what you're seeing, to understand better what it is that you're seeing. And it's a fascinating journey. It's fascinating to watch it in play. In some of in parts of these waves, we are totally blinded. It's like humanity just has like blinders on. We don't see, right? We can't see. Sometimes we have the right eye closed, which means the left hemisphere is open. And sometimes we have it the opposite way. And sometimes we have both eyes wide open. And it's these varying states. It reminds me of the different phases of the moon, where we go into the new moon, all things are possible. Then we go to the first square, which is some crisis that's generated by the outer world showing us something that we can't do. And then we go to the fullness, right, where we can see, aha, that's what's going on. And then we go into the last square, where now we see that it was in our consciousness all along that we needed to shift, that there wasn't some obstacle in our way out here, that it was really our perception of that obstacle that was the problem. And then we go back to the new. So we go through these different phases, and we just happen to be in a pretty, if I can use the word dark without making you feel like all is lost, that isn't my purpose here, but we're in a fairly blinded period of time, where nothing seems to make sense. We're asking ourselves, where did the light go? Where did people's sanity go? And what is up with this big divide? All these kinds of things are all appropriate energies when you look at it through the days and the nights. And maybe one day we can go into that a little bit deeper. If any of you are fascinated by that, as I am, I have every one of Kalaman's books on the Mayan calendar. And he does a fairly extensive job. He's a university professor and scientist. So he comes really from that more, the left-brained sort of thinking. But he does a pretty good job of stating the work, but it gets a little cerebral. So That's why I decided I would talk about it a little bit, because I have an article that I want to share with you all today. I'll post it later on in the community pages. And hopefully you guys will understand a little bit more about what I've just explained, but, or maybe you'll understand the article a little bit better because of what I've just explained, but it's absolutely fascinating. So be looking for that. If for those of you who are new or who have not yet done it, on Facebook, we have a group that's in support of the morning show here, and it's called Living Astrology Community. So you can go to that page and you can become a member and join up and be able to share of yourself and to, you know, kind of get the extension, if you will, of what we do here in the morning by having another place where we can all meet up and share ideas and information and what we do and what we love, etc. All right, going back here, Asa, any questions about anything that I just went through? She's having power issues. Ay, ay, ay. Oh my gosh. Okay, Asa. So I'm not sure if you're out there or not, but let me see if I could go through and find questions. So Christine Buckingham, wow, accurate. Yikes, 2031. Yeah. 2031. I was kind of shocked by that, but I don't know why I was shocked by that, because I should have known. I just, after the end of the calendar, I just stopped sort of charting it as much. I was sort of aware that these shifts are happening. And you see, all of the waves are still activated. So not all of the waves have gone into the dark. The most current waves have gone into the dark. And some of the waves will be, you know, in different places. And it's amazing when you really look at, in part of the talks that I did, we took something like communication and we charted it through the days and the nights. And it's amazing how a pattern emerges of when things happen, right? When the telephone was made possible, when telephone lines started crisscrossing the country and the world so we could speak to one another. Then from that into, you know, the telecommunications of today, you know, where satellites make just about anything, communication in any corner of the world possible. And these little devices that we can put in our pockets that we can take with us, and anywhere we are connected, and we can just watch that flowing through these waves. You can take our minds and how our minds have developed. You can take how our world developed from the point in time where we were in tribes until we went into a nationalism, until we went from nation to globalism. And eventually in the very last cycle that we hit was universalism, where we began to really be able to extend our reach out into the cosmos and to explore and find other planets and so forth. And it is a part of that last wave where we become galactic citizens and not just earthlings or Americans or Canadians and or whatever nation you belong in. But we've come through all of these cycles, and all of the cycles are still there. So we haven't lost nationalism. It's still alive and well out there. And as that energy goes through days and into nights, it has a different flavor through which it is expressed. In the day, it's expressed as nations coming together to form, groups like the WHO or United Nations, where all people are coming together to help. And then we go through the night where suddenly we can't stand the WHO. We think they're all, you know, bad and, or, you know, they're doing bad things. And then we'll go back into the day about 2031, where again, and actually we'll start the climb up in through the upper part of that curve, if you will, as we hit 2021. So the end of 2021, we'll see the bottom point of that, and we'll begin the move upward toward the light again, but technically still being in the darker phase or the more inward phase. And seeing how that plays out it's amazing to watch it when you go through the different waves. So there you have it. Waxing way philosophical this morning, huh? Okay, J-Lo, 10/28/2011, just shown as a scale. and the balance. Yeah. Oh, okay. That's kind of cool. Christine says, sounds like the serenity prayer. There we have that. I have a few charts with transits and 2031 for my birthday was one. Weird, not weird. Interesting, right? Sylvester sending love and positive vibes. Exactly. And by the way, I don't mean to express that the night is negative. It's not, but it's different. It's different energy. So when you look at those waves, by the way, at and look at religion, right? Or spirituality. Let's do it with religion. What you see is during the day, the great religions like Christianity, Judaism, Buddhism, all were launched or birthed during the days. The only religion that was birthed in the night was Islam. And now you see why it is that there's a disparity in the beliefs between the two. And it's not so much that their beliefs are different, but it's like one, the days are blinded to the nights, and the nights are certainly blinded to the days. So we don't see them clearly, right? So if you're part of a religious belief that was born in the day, you can tolerate the others, right? But there's always the problem then with the one that came up in the night, because it's like you're speaking different languages. You're arising from a different quality of time. And of course, time seemed to speed up in all of that as well, because every time a new wave came off of the world tree, if you will, which is a part of a lot of world mythologies, right? Like even the Norse mythologies have a world tree that was planted. And from that world tree spin off these waves, and those waves have creation power. And they bring us an evolutionary energy or an impulse. And sometimes that impulse is in the day energy, where these great positive things that are happening. And then in the night, things are cooking. Like right now in this night period of time, what's cooking, right? What's cooking that's going to emerge as something, as a positive expression in the day, the next day that we go to. So it's not that the nights are negative. They're not at all. They're just different from the day energy, right? A little scarier, a little less able for us to understand. If you were born during, and all of humanity pretty much that are alive on the planet right now, were born during the days of the cycles, you know, there's a difficult time for us then to understand what's going on in the night, right? Because we're the night is dark. It's not understandable. So it's just interesting, interesting stuff. J-Lo, would you say it's like the pinnacles in numerology for us, the waves? Right. Well, the pinnacles happen in response to your birth date. These waves don't happen in response to that at all. They have a specific wave momentum that they carry. And I'll have to get into that more at some point in time. We're done with these new waves, right? We're done with the waves launching. Now we're just living with the waves that are all born at one time. At the end of the Mayan calendar, one of the things that was said was that all nine gods would descend upon the earth and be alive in the moment on the earth. Well, if you experience it as the Maya did, each one of these waves was a representation of one of their gods and their main nine gods. And all nine of them, all nine waves, were present and accounted for at the end of the calendar. So all of the creative energies of the universe are possible and are here in this moment as of 10/28/2011. But then we dove into the night, right? We dove into the night. So we don't even know the gift of what it is that we've gotten, right? We're it's inside of us. It hasn't quite been expressed in the outpouring yet, right? It's in within us. We get peaks and valleys of little things. It's more like nesting dolls, I think, J-Lo, is how I would look at it, where they're all in a play, but some of them you see more vibrantly, some of them you don't. And if you take them all apart, then you have these nine little dolls. Well, I don't know if there's nine, but let's just say there are these nine things that are all together, but they're also separate, and they're together, and they're separate, and they are breathing in a sort of predictable way over time, And there are apps out there that you can download that will show you where you are in the cycles, right? In each of those cycles. And the more you know about these kinds of things, the more then that you find yourself going with the flow of the cycle, because there's nothing we can do against the cycle, right? We're in a cycle that's more inward, that is, I don't have exact words how to describe that, except to say that it's completely different from the days. So even though we've thought that 2020, we want to be done with 2020, 2021 is still in that cycle and is still going to take us into sort of the inner dynamics, the shadow energies that we have to work with. And in the shadow energies, lots can happen. And we might perceive them not so happily because we're not used to being in that dark space. And just go with the flow, right? We'll turn the corner. 2021 does take us to the very tip, the very bottom of that, you know, the deep part of the wave, but then we'll start to move back up. But it's going to take time, right? 2031 is still 10 years away. Yeah. So, all right. Well, did you miss Y9? No, there's no why about it. It just is, right? It just is. There were nine cycles, maybe because nine brings us completion. Nine in numerological terms is the number of completion. And it has a sort of, there's a mysticism around the number nine as well, but there were nine cycles, nine gods that would descend upon the earth. And it's just how that all worked out. Okay, so let's go back to the week ahead, looking ahead at what energies we have going on this week. Yesterday, Sunday, began the new Human Design Week. Asa will be putting out that graphic later for you all to see. Remember, we talked a bit about it on Friday, where we are all now in manifesting generator energy with the sun at the gate 34 and the earth at the gate 20. And that is the signature, the archetype of the manifesting generator. So it makes for a very busy time. We may have a lot of things going that we need to get, you know, prepared to do. For those of you who do not have access to sacral energy because you're a projector, a reflector, or a manifester, this is going to feel to you like suddenly you have a lot of power, a lot of energy, a lot of ability to keep moving, busy, 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 but busy, busy doing what? Right now, it's like the manifesting generator experience where they're always busy, but what are they busy doing? Right. So the question is then, where's the flow of energy going? And are you just taking on more and more things without really having a plan or without really thinking about, is this right for me? So remember this week, then, while you're in this energy, not to overdo things, especially if you don't have sacral energy. For those of you who are already manifesting generators, this isn't going to seem any different to you, right? Just same busy, same doing. Generators, now you're suddenly having the sacral energy make it directly up to the throat. So be careful what you start, right? Don't get yourself involved in things just because it shows up in your world. You are here to respond to what shows up, but you also have to use your authority. If you're in emotional authority, you have to slow down a bit and make sure that what you're about to do is correct, and also that you're not taking on too much at one time. And of course, you know, it's here in the US anyway, it's the Thanksgiving holiday. So we might be busy getting, you know, groceries bought or pies made or whatever it is that your Thanksgiving plans are. And then of course, the messaging from outside of us is that Black Friday's coming, start to buy all those Christmas presents. So it can ramp up the busyness of the week. And interesting, because we started the week in this low, this Piscean energy that's kind of dragging. So some of us may be looking forward and going, oh my gosh, do I really have to do all of that then? And then that starts our engines running. So we have to watch this week for that. Today, Mercury trines Neptune. That's the big energy of the day today. Mercury rules your mind and your communication. Neptune puts us out there in spiritual, sometimes la-la land, the dreamier aspect of life. And so sometimes we may start a thought and we lose the thought train because Mercury's in a smooth flow with Neptune here. It can also be a great time to be able to create, to be creative, and to flow with imagination energy. So today makes it a very good day for us to engage in the creative pursuits or to do more spiritual work, maybe do some contemplation, some meditation, some yoga, whatever it is that helps you get calm and peaceful, maybe be a source of recharge for your energy. Tomorrow, there's really nothing big going on, nothing new anyway going on. Wednesday, Pluto will come into a quintile with Chiron. We've talked briefly about quintiles before. It's considered a minor aspect, but to me, it shows us where we can be. We can use our talents and our gifts in specific, in this case with Pluto, to transform our lives. Pluto's quintiling Chiron to transform and heal, right? That's what Wednesday's potential is all about. Thursday, nothing much going on. Friday, Mercury in a sextile to Pluto, Venus opposing Uranus. It can be a day of some upsets, some ups and downs. Saturday, Neptune turns direct. So be very much listening to your intuition this week. Very much listening to it. While Neptune is retrograde, we tend to be able to hear rather readily what's going on from our instinct and our intuition. When Neptune turns direct, it gets that gets more muted and the world gets louder. And so it might be harder for us to connect with our intuitive selves. We may find ourselves ruining the day that we didn't listen to our intuition back then, last week or last month when we had the thought, I should do this. So be very aware of that. Sunday and Monday, of course, we have the lunar eclipse, the full moon lunar eclipse. It is a penumbral lunar eclipse, which means the moon doesn't get all red. It doesn't have the earth. It's not in the umbra of earth. It's just in the penumbra, the beginning of the shadow of the earth. So the moon will change faces a bit, but it's not as dramatic as other types of eclipses. And this eclipse is visible for all of the US, a little slice of Europe and all of the Pacific Ocean and a slice of Asia as well. I'll show pictures of that as we get later into the week. A lunar eclipse is a jacked up full moon, so it is more powerful and it gives us the ability to really release and let go and surrender. But what is it that you want to release, let go, and surrender? Perhaps it's more about revelation for you. It's the full light of the moon that gets dimmed, right? The moon gets dimmed by the earth. And maybe we can see things clearer. Maybe we won't, right? Maybe it'll be darker. So it can be a little bit confusing. And this week we're already in the flow of this. We're already starting to make that consideration as to what that moon might mean for us and what, things might need to change, what's coming to a head for completion and revelation. So we'll talk more about that as the week goes on. And I found a great simulation of what that moon looks like when it's full and going into eclipse. So that'll be fun to look at too. I'm going to keep that graphic so I can show it to you. All right. So today's Pleiadian Earth energy is 12 healing. Healing energy in the Mayan calendar was Ish, the representation of the jaguar or the high priest or priestess. They didn't have priestesses really in the Mayan way of doing things, but the high priest, right? This is very jaguar shamanic kind of energy. And today's the day 12. So we're wrapping up, if you will, getting ready to close out this spiral of consciousness. The 12 is the number of understanding. Here's where we begin to understand that there are beginnings and endings, and an ending's a new beginning, and a beginning comes up from an ending. We can see many perspectives of the things that have come up for us in the previous 13 days or 12 days, excuse me, and seeing things from new eyes, maybe, or from a new understanding. It is an opportunity. In fact, we must stay in the present moment during a day like today, as past and future fade into the moment, into the right now. The healing energy is about assisting us to embody spirit, right? To really bring spirit into matter. And it is the opportunity for all of us to heal what's left to heal within us, on every level, spiritual, mental, emotional, physical, and then releasing old patterns, right? Letting go of the things that are no longer serving us, and then harmonizing our own imbalances before we go to heal others, right? So we can't help humanity unless we've helped ourselves. We get that stewardess sort of thing going, right? Where she tells you if the oxygen masks drop down, you put them on first and then help your family or your friends or the people around you, and doing that because you can't have the energy to help others if you're not in a good position to do that. So today reminds us of a lot of those things. And this particular time period began at one listening, and listening energy was taking us into that quiet space, right? So healing in that quiet space, healing what's maybe not seen so easily, healing what's going on within, and then being able to come out and help others. And that's it for me. That's it. Tomorrow we'll be in the 13. So we'll be buttoning up the, we'll be in the ascension energy, right? Taking everything that we've been through this last 13 days, putting it all in its proper perspective, sitting in the quiet for that time, and getting ready to allow us to move to the next level, which, as luck would have it, becomes one intuiting. So you can see we're sort of in a little bit of a long wave here of paying attention to our intuition, right? Really being listening from a different place, living your human design is another word that I, another phrase that I could bring up. So staying true to yourself, right? Being you, doing you, because that's what you can do best. Okay. I'm going to take one last look here for questions. Thanks, Joshua. So what did he say? So busy getting blank bleep done. So busy getting shit done. Don't realize my energy is all, yeah, leave me alone. Yeah. Everybody's going to have that feeling in some way, shape, or form. I think, you know, manifesting generators are familiar with that energy, so it doesn't seem so alien to them. Generators will kind of get a kick out of this because for them, things are getting done. The projectors, manifestors, and reflectors may also get a sort of kick out of this, but have to remember that that soon will pass. And you, in having all of that extra energy this week, remember, it's going to leave you, right? It's only in the conditioning field right now. So you're borrowing it, if you will. So borrow away, but do it in accordance to your type and your strategy, and recognize that later this week, when the Human Design Week shifts yet again, that energy leaves you, right? It leaves you for a different part of the chart. Okay. J-Lo, I wonder if I'm lucky enough to get a picture of the eclipse. I caught one a few years back, but it is freezing cold and feels like you will become glass and break. Well, probably don't want you to be out there then, J-Lo. Kathleen, love those polka dots. They're actually little flowers, little white flowers, but the pattern is kind of small. But thank you very much. Ursula, Angelicus, excited to receive my new book, The 13th Sign. Thanks for pointing us toward the 13. You're most welcome. Joshua, this Pisces moon is like a little break. It is, unless, of course, you have lots of work to yet do. But maybe it's a meditation break, right? Take and build in some time for rest, for relaxation, for contemplation during the day today, and then early in the morning tomorrow. Tomorrow, the energy will shift to Aries. It'll feel kind of good to shift back into action-oriented energy, especially now that Mars is in forward motion, right? The sign, or I mean, the planet that rules the sign of Aries is in forward motion. Okay. Have a great day, everyone, Allison says. Blessings to all. And I say the same. Everyone take care. Have a great day. I will see you tomorrow morning. Have a great one.